You're listening to a Frequency Podcast Network production in association with City News.
The 5-day work week is better than the 6-day work week. That's for sure. But since the 5-day work week was introduced, it's been stuck at 5. And I'm just going to ask on this nice spring Friday, why? Why not 4 days? This isn't just me wanting another day off and wanting you to have one too. This is a data-backed way to make you more productive for your employer, more relaxed in your home life, and require less time off from work to do the little things, like get your passport renewed or your teeth cleaned. It would be one thing if I was to point at a single pilot project and say, this one study here proves this crazy idea just might work. It is a different thing altogether to say, see, here are multiple studies and multiple pilot projects, and here are companies who have actually done this and seen results, and this is how good it's been for them, and there is all this evidence, and we get more evidence every month, and it's massively popular in just about every single poll. So why aren't we doing this? So once more, with feeling, say it with me. Why am I working today? Why are you? Why can't we have a 4-day work week? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is The Big Story. Jared Lindzen is a freelance journalist who writes about the future of work and technology, among many other things, and he examined the 4-day work week in the Globe and Mail. Hello, Jared.
Hello.
I want to start with this before we get into 4-day work weeks. Why do we have a 5-day work week anyway? Where did this come from? It wasn't always this way.
It wasn't always this way. It came from a lot of activity around the time of industrialization, when a lot of things became formalized in a way that they hadn't had to be prior to. Before we worked in factories, life was very different. Work was very different. Around the turn of the century, a lot of the rules and conventions that we know as standard today were established, including the 5-day work week. Originally, it was a 6-day work week, Sunday being the Lord's Day, of course. And then in 1908, the first known American factory switched to a 5-day work week to accommodate its Jewish workers who were observing the Sabbath and not working on Saturdays, but were working on Sundays instead. Now, that system worked for a while, but then their Christian colleagues got offended that the Jews were working on the Lord's Day on Sunday, so they just went with a 5-day work week. But really, it was cemented later on by Henry Ford, who wanted to make sure that his staff could not only afford the products that they were building, but actually had time to enjoy them and thus drive up the automobile market in the United States.
And a bunch of this was as a result of union victories, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of fighting going on in sort of the 10s, 20s, and 30s that ended up with a lot of the standards that we know today. And one of the things that was fought for and was eventually passed in the United States in the 30s was the idea of overtime pay.
Right.
And once overtime pay began at the 41st hour, suddenly every employer was shortening the work week to 40 hours to make sure that they didn't surpass that threshold.
So that's almost 100 years ago.
Yes.
It's been working reasonably well enough that we haven't had any massive union movements or massive corporate attempts to claw it back. Why would we rethink it today?
Well, I think, the answer is in the question. So much has changed in the last 100 years. I think everything is up for debate and primed to be questioned within the modern context. So much of how we work is so different that I think some of these rules and conventions are ripe for reconsideration. There's a lot of things, obviously, that are different today than they were 100 years ago. But one of the biggest differences is that our output is more often associated with, brain power rather than physical labor, which was not the case. And, the brain needs rest. The brain needs time off. The brain does better when it is not as stressed and not as occupied or preoccupied by non-work-related things. So a lot of the arguments for the 4-day work week suggest that it might actually improve productivity, which a lot of people think it doesn't make any sense. How could shortening the work week improve productivity? The reality is that if we're so dependent on brain power for the output today, then having a stronger, you know, more relaxed, less distracted brain actually improves output.
So where did the concept of moving to a four-day work week initially come from, and how long has it been around?
The four-day work week has been sort of discussed a lot, but I haven't really seen it taken so seriously until the last few years. You know, as long as I've been doing this, I've been writing about work for about 10 years now, and there was always a little bit of a conversation in the background about the four-day work week. There was also the same conversation happening about remote work, but as we know, it didn't really take off until the pandemic. The four-day work week is kind of the same. You know, I feel like it's been sort of bubbling beneath the surface. There's been people who have tried it and said it works, and people who have studied it and say it works, but others who say it's, you know, just not practical, or why would we change? You know, if it ain't broke, why do we fix it? I think all of a sudden in the last few years, we've noticed a lot more things that are broken and perhaps ripe for fixing.
So where has it been tried? You know, you mentioned a couple of studies. I know there've been some pilot projects. Where has it been tried, and where in Canada?
Yeah, I mean, it's been tried all over the world. You know, there's a few corners that you can point to now where there hasn't been some big experiment. One of the most interesting ones for me was during the pandemic, New Zealand really locked down their borders, and there's such a tourist-heavy economy that they switched to a four-day work week or encouraged a four-day work week so that the locals could take part in more of the tourist activities as that industry was suffering during the pandemic, which I thought was interesting. And then, yeah, I started looking at a few different companies, everything from tech companies to there was a municipality, the government of Guysborough, Nova Scotia, gave this a try in the summer of 2020, and it went very well for them. These days, you know, there's a growing list of companies that are doing it. I wouldn't say we're at the point where we could say, you know, there's a sizable percentage of the country that's even looking at this seriously. Like, you know, it would be in the low single digits. But if you want to count individual companies, there's definitely a good number across a very broad range of industries in Canada that are, you know, giving it a shot and taking it seriously.
Is there any consensus emerging from all these attempts, pilot projects, different companies doing it? And I don't necessarily mean a this is great or this won't work consensus, but are there things that we can say we've learned from where it's been attempted?
There's a few things that we know. We know that overall, most companies report that productivity is either the same or greater from reducing the work week. We know that definitely employee satisfaction and engagement scores go through the roof.
Fair.
For any company that tries that. And in this current labor environment, you know, the big one for most employers is that retention and recruitment also go through the roof. And that's a big, important piece of this conversation that we need to discuss, because I think if we were in a different labor market, we might not be talking right now about the reality of a four-day work week, you know, but now employees are firmly in control. And so the conversation is, how do we, you know, improve attraction and retention? And then there's a lot of other smaller benefits that are worth bringing up, you know, less employee absences, which tends to add up over time. You don't need to take as many sick days or, you know, leave at 3 o'clock to go to a dentist appointment if you have an extra weekday to do those sorts of things. So there's a lot of different improvements. Overall, the companies that have tried this generally report that, yeah, productivity stays the same or improves. And the vast majority of the most recent pilots, 9 out of 10, say that they will continue doing this on an ongoing basis.
Where has the resistance to this or the downside of this made itself seen? You know, you kind of mentioned earlier when we were talking about the 5-day work week, you know, why would we change it? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Is that resistance mostly just, you know, inertia, or are there things that employers are worried about related to this?
I mean, I've considered a lot of the counter arguments. A lot of them are based on inertia in one way or another. You know, once you really dig down into, like, why do you really feel strongly that this can't work? A lot of it is the inertia of this is the way it's always been done. And, you know, how much more can we give our employees? We've already given them flexibility in terms of location. We've already up salaries this year. Like, what more do we need to throw at them? A lot of companies are not quite accustomed to this dynamic change that we've been talking about, where, you know, the candidate pool and the employee base is firmly in control of the labor market. So it seems like there's a lot of just negative feelings around that change in dynamic. That's where a lot of the inertia is. But it's also important to note that, you know, like remote work, the companies that prepare for this appropriately and that really put in work at the outset are going to have much better results, you know? And I know during the pandemic, we didn't really have a choice. A lot of companies just switched to remote work, lift and shift what they were doing in the office to a virtual environment. There were so many things that didn't work about that, and they rushed back into the office as soon as possible. There's a lot of other companies that really took the time to study, you know, how do we optimize for a remote first workforce? And in the end, remote work worked a lot better than in person. And those are the companies that are probably still remote or hybrid. The same is true of the 4-day work week. If you just go into it without making any preparations, without any considerations, it's probably going to be a failure. If you spend a little bit of time at the outset figuring out systems and processes that are optimized for this structure, you're going to end up having a lot more success.
Let's talk about some practical examples, though. Can you give me some picture of what preparing and optimizing and getting ready? I mean, listen, I know we're talking about business stuff here, so buzzwords are important. But like, can we talk about what a company might do to make this work?
Yeah, let's talk about synergies and other corporate buzzwords.
I'm going to circle back on that later.
Yeah, exactly. The reality is that not every employee, this is perhaps going to come as a surprise, not every employee is productive for 8 hours a day for 5 days a week. I know it's a shock.
I just try to be productive for about half an hour a day. So,
right? There's a lot of theories that it's sort of like you fill the space that you're given for a project or an assignment. And so if you're given, you know, 5 days, you'll get it done in 5 days. If you're given 4 days, you'll find a way to get it done in 4 days. So there are ways to sort of find those efficiencies. It also really depends on the company and the industry. So I will say that businesses that currently don't operate on a 5-day, Monday to Friday, 9-to-5 schedule are going to have more of a challenge than those that do. You know, if you're already accustomed to shift work in different hours, then this might not be the right kind of transition. But most companies that are, you know, 9-to-5, Monday to Friday, are able to find enough efficiency to start narrowing down the day and to, you know, encourage their people to work a little bit harder with that extra incentive dangling in front of them. A lot of businesses in Canada already do the summer Friday thing, and no one really questions, you know, where are you finding that Friday off for half the summer, or, you know, the half day for the whole summer, whatever it may be. It's the same thing. You know, if you want to make it work, there's not a lot that you have to do to make it work. It's just, you know, some businesses, for example, I spoke with a law firm, they wanted to keep their business staffed 5 days a week, but in their employees are only responsible for 4 of those days. So what happens if someone's trying to reach one of their lawyers on the 5th day that they're off? They need to have a system in place for directing that inquiry to someone who is available. So switching from an individual email system to more of a Teams-based, you know, this email is filtered through 3 different colleagues and one of them is always working so that they can respond in a timely manner. Those sorts of systems really go a long way.
So far, when we've talked about the length of the work week, we haven't talked about hours. Is this something that would typically change? Would we be working 4 10-hour shifts, essentially? Or are we talking about actually eliminating some hours of work?
Yeah, that's the ongoing debate in this area. And you'll hear a lot of it once you start digging into it. There's definitely a split going on. And I think it's also a lot of employers find it more palatable to start with 4 10-hour days.
Just easier to stomach for them.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's hard to imagine how are we going to cut 8 hours off of our week and still, you know, hit all of our targets and maintain all of our business goals. And so for them, it feels a lot easier to switch to 4 10-hour days. And a lot of businesses have had success with 4 10-hour days. I got to imagine those days drag on pretty hard, especially, you know, in the winter where it gets dark out and you're still working for 3 more hours. Like that can't feel like fun. But I will also say that a lot of companies that start with the 4 10-hour days end up switching down to 4 8-hour days. And if you talk to the purists, if you talk to the real advocates in this space, they'll tell you that the ideal situation is 4 days, 8 hours a day, full pay as if they were working five.
And I mean, how much of this is also, while we're talking about like the knowledge economy work, how much of this is also just like people now work unpaid overtime all the time, or check their email at 8 p.m. or, you know, answer a reply at 7 a.m. before they have to be at work. Like, this work is getting done somehow regardless.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's 100 years ago when these rules were created, work had a very specific time and place and wasn't very portable, let's say. That is definitely no longer the case. And, you know, even some folks who do work a 4-day work week are still checking email on the fifth day, you know, maybe even on the weekends and evenings as well. And I think a lot of us have the experience of, you know, not being able to fully switch off, which is one of the arguments in favor of the 4-day work week. It's that, you know, things don't fall through the cracks as easily anymore, given that we always have access. And if there is any kind of emergency that needs our immediate attention, you know, we can be reached even if we're not in the office.
You've kind of touched on this in a couple of your answers around different kinds of work, but should this, you know, gather steam, hit a tipping point, become the norm, who loses out? This is a big shift. Not everybody will make it. And is that fair?
People talk about the 4-day work week, I think, in the same terms that they talk about remote work. And a lot of the times it seems very binary. You know, when I was writing about remote work during the pandemic, especially in the early days, people would say, well, are we just going to always work remotely? What's going to happen to offices? What about downtowns? You know, the whole world is going to collapse because everybody is going to work remotely all the time. And, you know, the message I'm trying to send is that this isn't the end of a certain way of working and the beginning of a new way of working, which is the easiest way to conceptualize it. But it's the end of a one standard for every kind of employee, every kind of industry, and every kind of worker. Remote work doesn't work for every single human being that is employed in this country, you know, or on this planet. And people seem to look at it as, we're all going to work remotely, we're all going to work hybrid, or we're all going back into the office. And the reality, as we've seen, is that organizations have the opportunity to pick and choose what works best for them. And I think it's important to look at the 4-day work week in the same context. This won't work for everybody. It's going to work for a lot more people than you might think, and a lot more industries than you might think at the outset. You know, I spoke to a law firm who sells hours, as they put it, and it worked very well for them. But there's still going to be a lot of organizations, and especially, like I said, those that are currently dependent on shift work, that are very manual, very in-person. It's not going to be as easy to make this transition. It might not be doable, and that's okay as well. I don't think that, you know, this is the end of some people working 5 days. It's just another option on the table that some organizations are going to have success with.
What do you expect to see in the next few years, and speaking as somebody who would love a 4-day work week, and speaking probably to a bunch of listeners that would as well, how fast is this picking up steam? Where do you see it going?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it always seems just around the corner. You know, there was a study that just came out, which inspired the article that inspired you to reach out to me. So the study was from Robert Half Canada, found that almost 70% of senior managers expect the 4-day work week to be standard within the next 5 years. And 5 years is kind of a convenient time horizon because it's not immediate. People don't see this change happening this year or next year, but it's easy to feel like it'll happen in the, you know, sort of medium term future. The momentum is building, absolutely. There's more research being done. There's more studies coming out. A lot of the research and the studies are pointing in the same direction, that this is just a win-win for employers and employees. It's going to take a long time to actually see this transition happening. I think, you know, if there's a change in the labor market, which I don't suspect there will be immediately, but if all of a sudden the employers are back in control and there is, you know, not as many jobs per worker, then this might take a step backwards. But if things continue on the way that they're going, and this research keeps coming out, the experiments keep happening, and they continue to point in the same direction, then this is going to just keep building momentum. And it's hard to say exactly when that tipping point will happen. Again, I feel like the five-year time horizon is kind of convenient because it doesn't feel immediate, but it also feels inevitable.
One last quick question. You know, if all the evidence points to this being a win-win, what's the fight about? Is it about power?
That's a good one. I would have to say it is. And again, it's this change in dynamic that's really hard for organizations to accept, because if you've been a business owner or a manager, for more than the last 5 years, things went a certain way. There was a certain level of power and control that came with being the employer. And you were in the driver's seat, you got to dictate the rules. And, you know, within industries competing for the same talent, there might be a little bit of competition if you're really keen on having the best and brightest. But the incentives for being a top-notch employer weren't really as dramatic. And so the emphasis wasn't as significant. And I think that this change in dynamic, which, you know, you can talk to labor economists, it's a lot to do with just aging population, demographics, things that are so macro that no individual company can really, you know, manage that challenge alone. This change is happening, and it's hard for a lot of folks who have been accustomed to being in the driver's seat to suddenly take a back seat and say, what do you want as an employee? Not, here's what I need from you as your employer. And yeah, that change in dynamic has been very difficult and slow. And I think a lot of organizations are kind of sitting back and waiting for it to go back to the way it was. And again, the macroeconomics, the demographics, there's just the makeup of this country and the number of workers available compared to the number of opportunities and job postings that there are. It's not going back anytime soon.
It'll be fascinating to watch them wrestle with that over the coming years. Jared, thank you so much for this. This is great.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Jared Lindzen, writing in the Globe and Mail. That was The Big Story. You can find more at thebigstorypodcast.ca. We still, sadly, publish Fridays, at least until I am released from my five-day work week. I'm just kidding. We'd still give you an episode. We'd just do an extra one in 4 days, just like you'd be more productive in 4 days. You can follow us on Twitter at TheBigStoryFPN or email us hello@thebigstorypodcast.ca. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. Have a great weekend. Rest up. And we'll talk Monday.